y'all know what it is.
Y'all ready?
Turn it up.
One, two, three.
Unscripted, unshackled, uncouth. What you're about to hear is for mature ears only. It's Miguel and Holly, uncensored, from Hot 101.5.
Rolling stones of the raptor, not bragging. Look bigger than Jagger, not sagging. Roll it backwards, I'ma leave it at that. Daddy got nothing to do with rap. Check the facts, expose those cats. Who poses heroes, take advantage of blacks. Your government's gangsters, so cut the crap. A war going on, so where y'all at?
Hello.
How you doing?
It is Miguel and Holly Uncensored. We are the Miguel and Holly Show on Hot 101.5 in beautiful Tampa Bay, Florida. My name is Miguel Fuller. That is Holly O'Connor.
What up?
And that is producer Ryan McGibney.
Howdy.
Y'all, I am tired.
Why are you so tired?
I think, and I forgot about this, that when I had the flu a couple of weeks ago and I went to the doctor.
Yeah.
And they like ran all the tests and they're like, all right, you have the flu. And I forgot he asked me if I'd had mono before.
Uh-oh.
And I said, yes, I did. I think my mono is flaring up because I have just been like sitting at my desk reading the computer and like my eyes closed. Does it flare up?
I thought you get it once and that's it.
No, but it sort of lays dormant in your body and then it can flare up and I bet something like the flu would bring it on.
Yeah, I wonder.
I've had it before.
Have you?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, maybe.
Yeah,
it's the worst thing. It feels like fire razors in your throat.
What? I mean, I've had that feeling, but never in mono. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, because now that I think about it, like my tonsils keep like flaring up for a little bit and then it'll hurt for a couple of days, and then I'll just be really tired. And so I'm going to message my doctor. I bet that's what it is.
Mine does the same thing, though, so you're good.
Where did
no
you
doctor
get,
needed.
Can we remember, like, where did mono come from?
Girl, I don't know. It was somebody.
That was in the year that you got everything.
Yeah, that was when, because, like, my whole life, I always had this dream that maybe I was, like, superhuman somehow because I never broke anything. I was never allergic to anything. I never got sick. Mm. And then in 2014, I got everything. Like, I had bronchitis, I had strep throat, I had mono, I had jock itch, my appendix came out. I mean, this was all like, bim, 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 bim.
Yeah.
And then it was like, okay.
Yeah, wow. Done with being sick from every illness.
Yeah, so I've been going through it. I've been trying to, like, get through it. By, you know.
But that's like how I got sick, remember, at the very first week of February, and then I was basically sick for the entire month.
Yes.
And it trickled over into March.
Yes. Ugh.
So that's you. You had the flu, but now you're dealing with flare-ups of mono.
Oh, fun.
Good.
Because I'm 31 years old, and the thing that you want to tell people when you talk to them on Tinder, hey, guess what? I can't stay awake because I have mono.
Yep. Sorry.
Wow. Well, there you go. So, you're
tired.
I am. But we're gonna get through this, and we're gonna do the damn thing.
Okay.
So I had a question that I've been trying to sort of work through.
Oh.
Hold on. Let me backtrack a little bit because we need to catch you up on some things. Last week, I told you about the guy that I was talking to who was a little bit older.
Yes.
I don't think we gave him a name or anything.
No, we did not.
No, yeah. Well, that's over. That's done. It's
that was a fast one.
It was.
That was a flash in the pan. I mean, didn't you even say I love you accidentally?
I did. I was drunk.
Yeah.
And we were being intimate. We weren't like doing it, but
right.
We were being intimate. And I said I love you. It was really awkward.
You know what? Is that the first sort of, not serious, but potentially serious, SLA sexual situation you've had since you broke up with Hot Teacher?
When you say serious,
like
in
we're
sex,
really, we're actually into.
We're like, it could be
it could
something.
Have turned into something more.
Okay, yes, yes, because there have been other people.
Okay, I'm wondering if that has something to do with it because you saying I love you, I mean,
mm-hmm.
Because the first person that I sort of had some hooky-uppy little make-out sessions with.
That you said, that you said.
You are disgusting. You are so disgusting. No, I'm not even acknowledging
Listen,
that.
I can't do it on the radio, so let
no,
me do it on the
I'd
podcast.
Like, don't do it.
I can't. I'm smiling too hard.
What the fuck? fuck is that supposed to even be? Gross. Please stop it. Stop it. Anyway. Because
we're 12 years old.
Yes. Anyway, that whole thing. Okay, you know what? So never mind.
No. Tell us, Holly, what happened.
It doesn't matter.
No, tell us. Tell us.
It's the first thing after a thing, so it kind of turns out to be, it makes you feel different things that you didn't need to feel. That's all.
No, I mean, no. Explain this. I don't under. So what? This is the rebound?
Yeah, not even the rebound. It's just that once you are sort of done feeling your feels after a breakup or a relationship, and then you finally, like, to quote, you know, get back in the saddle, I think some of those leftover feelings need to go somewhere, and that's how you can get into awkward situations with strangers. Because after I got out of a relationship and I was, like, done with the divorce and everything, that whole thing, like I was saying, the first person that I had had some things happen with, mm-hmm. I think I felt unnaturally drawn to them, which didn't need to happen. Like, right. I didn't even feel that type of way about that person. But because it was the first thing after I had just been emotionally wrecked,
right.
I sort of got, like, unnecessarily attached. Mm. And maybe that's why I Love You popped out, because you were so used to have been in a relationship,
right.
that it was just sort of some of that excess coming out.
I can see.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just sort of one of those remnants.
It's true. I mean, because I felt like I've been sort of putting a Band-Aid over the grief process yeah. of being in a relationship. I mean, because, you know, one of my friends told me at brunch, he was like, I'm not saying that we're concerned, but there have been conversations with some of your friends that we think you may have been going a little too hard on the weekends.
I think that's, I would agree with whatever friend said that. And let I me was buy like, them a cocktail.
That was Eric, my friend Eric.
Oh.
Yeah, and I'm like, and he's the one that's like, girl, I don't care what you do, whatever, bye. But he was just saying how our normal weekend plans have changed, because normally in the past, like on Sundays, we would go watch a movie, all of our friends, and maybe do brunch or lunch somewhere. And the past, month and a half that I've been single, it's been hardcore brunch, hardcore drinking at the pool or at Enigma or the Flamingo.
Yeah, you don't need to do that
much.
And
it's been a little crazy.
Drinking, like heavy drinking. And I think he's right. I mean, even if you were the one to break things off, or you're like, well, my feelings have dissipated, that's still the ending of a relationship, and your life has taken a pretty noticeable turn.
Yeah.
So you do need to process that stuff. And that's why I think, at least in my experience, after you get out of a relationship like that, you have some of these excess feelings that just kind of come out.
It's true.
Whether it's you tell someone you love them, like, completely out of turn.
Right.
Or, in my case, had, like, a mini psycho moment where I was like, I don't even like this person. Why did I just blow them up on their text? Like, it's just embarrassing. And what really sucks is if the other person does not understand where you're coming from.
Right.
And they're like, what the hell is this? And then you're embarrassed. But what it really is they're actually part of your grieving process.
No, that totally makes sense. I mean, I can see. It's such a hard process, because it's like, how, like, do you have to go through those things to then finally be okay? Like, someone's going to be the victim of your feelings after you break up with someone, even if you don't mean it to be.
Oh, yeah. I think so.
Someone is going to be that victim.
Yes. I think it always is that way. And if there is no victim, then you haven't really, because the first one is going to be wonky.
Right.
It is. And I mean, even if you think you're totally and completely healed and you're like, I've given myself the appropriate amount of time
right.
in which to grieve and or move on and get over, the first person that you're with after that, you're not quite yourself yet.
Human emotions are nuts.
Yeah.
I mean, like, it's literally because there's no rhyme or reason. There's no scientific.
It's not science. It's not logic. It's feeling.
Feelings.
And emotion.
What the fuck are feelings? Like, what? Why can't I just control them? It's just, it's really maddening. And here's what I'm getting at. Is because what I'm noticing over the past week, now that sort of I've come back down to earth from, you know, I remember like the first weekend after my ex moved out, and I was getting ready to go have a random lunch with someone that had just texted me on a Saturday. And I remember being in the shower and being like, oh my God, like, this is the best feeling in the world that I can just go do whatever. I don't have to call and check in. I don't have to do. I can just go do. Mm. And I love going to just go do. And I was like, remember this feeling. This is awesome before you start to be like, I want to be in a relationship. And then I think this week was the first time that the sort of like bouts of loneliness that I've always suffered from sort of popped up just a little bit. And I remember being like, I think maybe this is why I've kept busy, you know, this whole time. And then it's like, why can't I just turn that off? Mm. Like, why can't I just take that little sprout of emotion and then just yank it out and burn it up and pull it somewhere?
Okay, well, that's every human being. That's human nature.
It's so frustrating because I'm
meant to be in groups.
I know, and I am. I'm in fucking groups all the time, except for during the week. Like, I'm here with you, and then I go home and take a nap, and I go to CrossFit to another group, and then it's always that moment when I'm home after CrossFit, after dinner, and I'm looking around my apartment, and I'm like,
oh, yeah. And but
so what
this
now?
Is what I struggle with, because I have those, definitely have those moments, too. But then my other part of my life is so busy, and there's so much other shit going on. I'm like, God, who would even deal with me and my other shit right now?
Yeah.
Like, in those moments, like, after I put my daughter to bed, after Maya's in bed, and then I actually have some me time, I'm like, I'd really like to just talk to somebody right now.
Mm.
And, like, I know this sounds so dumb, but like cuddle with somebody and like just have sleepless, doesn't have to be sex, but just be intimate with somebody. You know what I'm talking about? Like watch a show or like have like inside jokes. But then I'm like, okay, well, my life is going to start getting crazy again at approximately 4 a.m. tomorrow.
Right.
And from then until the end of the day, I'm fucking busy again. Yeah. And who's going to put up with that?
Ryan, did you ever go through any of this after your breakup? Are you listening to us saying we're crazy?
Ryan never had any downtime. I don't think Ryan's ever had downtime.
I didn't have a lot of downtime.
Have you in your, like, because you're 27, 26?
27.
27. In your 20s, have you sort of gone from relationship to relationship to relationship?
No. My last one was like 4.5 years.
Oof.
Jesus. I know, right?
That's a lot. Like, I'm trying to think before that. It's very great. Before that, there was a stint of not like a relationship for probably a few years.
I mean, what were you dating someone?
Huh?
Or were you dating people during that time?
I wouldn't say dating.
You were doing them?
Yeah.
He was doing it.
See?
Oh, fucking.
Yowza.
There was some that I hung out with regularly, like here and there, but it was only like a month or so.
Right. Now I can see you.
I had to move in the computer.
I was like, what are you doing?
Sorry. No, we're in the hot studio. And so this is like one of the few times we get to record in here.
Yeah.
So I'm not used to being in here for the podcast, so it feels a little bit weird.
Yeah, most of my life has been relationships though, since like 15 or 16.
God, that's crazy. So, like, do you ever miss being single?
No, not really.
Maybe he doesn't really know what single's like.
I do. True. I do, but it does seem, like, lonely, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think I would be opposed to it now, because back then it's sort of like, I'm trying to think. It's like I'm okay with myself now and being by myself all the time, but before I had, like, FOMO all the time and like I needed to hang out with friends and go somewhere and do something. Now I can just sit at home and do nothing.
Right.
And I don't give a fuck.
Right. And that's the thing. I have never minded being single. I'm not one of those people, and I have never been one of those people that needs a person or thinks that I need someone to complete me or whatever.
Right.
But it's you do get lonely, and it gets kind of like, oh man. But then I think about all of the shit that goes
into
it.
It's just a lot of fun when you find somebody that works. So like right now is fun, is good. It's awesome because we do the same things and it's like we get along and it's fun. There's no really issues. So
there's not a lot of responsibility on top of that relationship.
If it gets like we argue all the time or like some issue, it's like if that starts happening in your relationship, then it's not worth it. And it does seem like a daunting task to go through and find out all of that stuff.
Right.
In the beginning of a relationship, you're like, oh, man, I know it's going to be good for like a month and then it's going to get crazy.
Yeah.
Maybe.
That's interesting. Now that you say that, I don't think I've ever been with someone that had the same interest as me.
Me neither. I haven't ever.
Until now?
Until now. and it's a totally different thing. So I'm saying if you're going to go out and get somebody new and you kind of want to be maybe slightly serious about it, make sure they have the same interests. If they don't, it's probably not going to work out
for sure
the way that it could. If they
the way
did
that
share
it has
an
potential.
Interest, yeah, the potential is way lower for somebody that is sort of mismatched than somebody that are paired together and do the same things.
Agreed.
Because you guys can grow with each other that way.
So the whole opposites attract is complete bullshit.
Yeah.
To me, yes.
Yes. I believe it is. And I hate to all of us now agree on this point, but I think it's sexy and there can be a lot of chemistry with the whole opposites attract thing. But long term, how attractive is someone who's totally your opposite?
Right.
Like, eventually, everybody kind of gets bored with sex. I mean, not like, it's not boring. You can find ways to spice that up. If you're sexually attracted to each other from the beginning, you can keep that, you know, you can, that's a cycle. But, like, with other stuff, that's just one part of it. If you find someone who you, you know, gel with, like Ryan and his girlfriend do, on their hobbies, their interests, come from similar backgrounds, maybe that's what's really going to propel you farthest. I mean, let my marriage be a testament to that. We were so opposite, and I would
on everything,
and I would always tell people, I'd be like, well, you know, we balance each other out. I would come up with any phrase that you can to do this.
We
and
can pull up a cliche. Yeah, a cliche.
I know a lot of people say too. It's like, oh, why? It's a lot easier for people to be together, like their grandparents or something.
Right.
They've been together forever and all this and that, and it's just not comparable to these days.
Right.
I hear that a lot, too.
Well, because, you know,
and like people that if you go and date around and stuff and it's like a bad thing, it's not a bad thing anymore because society is a little bit different.
Well, we have so many options and we don't just go to work and come home.
People
we have
are
so
less
many things.
Willing to compromise some things.
It's true. I mean, and now we're encouraged to have hobbies. Like, no one had hobbies back then, like, because you didn't have time because you were fucking building a house. I mean, like, you had to make your stuff and do stuff where everything, and this is what happens with as society moves on, because everything is so convenient, what do you do with all that extra time?
Mm-hmm.
I was actually listening to NPR yesterday and they were talking about how Florida and especially Tampa Bay, we are the most open with our laws to self-driving cars. And they're like, this is cool. But they were like, socially, what does that mean? So, like, if we're sitting in traffic now, what do you do with that time? How do you occupy? And so here's another thing of what do you do with all this extra time that we have because everything is just so convenient? And so the whole terms of opposites attract, it you have to just throw it out the window because what do you do with all this free time? You want to be with someone who gels with you and does the same things as you.
I want someone to be a best friend. If I'm going to spend that much time with somebody, they better be my damn best friend. Like, I don't want to have to settle. I don't want to settle. And I know that probably puts me, like, everyone's like, well, you're going to have to settle on some point unless you're going to be alone forever, which is fine. But I just, I don't want to settle because it doesn't seem worth it to me to settle. If I was going to settle, like, I have some other options that I could do. You know what I mean? Like, I love spending time with Miguel. Like, if I don't find someone else that I like to spend as much time with, like you, for example, why would I want to spend... Why would I invest in that? I want someone who we can laugh.
Right.
We can joke on the same level. We can obviously disagree about stuff, but we understand where we're coming from. We're on a lot of the same levels. That's what I eventually really want.
I think I've found your match then. I know what it is.
What is it?
It's a unicorn.
This is what I'm saying. I'm probably going to be alone forever.
It's just, it's so, I mean, that's what's so frustrating. And I think... One of the stories I was going to tell today is this whole time since I've been single, I haven't really chased anyone or been obsessed. Like, there have been people I've, you know, just been like, ooh, this could be interesting. And now there's sort of like two or three people that as I'm starting to sort of hone in of like people that I feel like I could enjoy life with where I haven't really done that in the past.
Yeah.
And now I'm starting to see where it sucks now that you realize this, because then when you see someone that you like, there's a guy that I've met recently who is like super into CrossFit and like fitness and everything. And like, I just find everything about that just, I'm like, let's go CrossFit every day together. Like, let's go to the Reebok outlet and buy CrossFit shoes. And, like, let's travel to the CrossFit games and spend money doing that and, like, doing CrossFit competitions together.
But is that
together.
The only part of life that you want to sync up on?
No, because I think socially, too, like, this is a person who is in the fitness, but, like, they also, like, go out and, like, they have fun and they have different groups of people and they're very social. So, I mean, this is all very, like, I don't know this person, like, in-depthly, but just on the surface level, I mean, because this is sort of what you go on, mm-hmm. you know, as you start to pursue someone, but this person is just not interested.
That's the other thing. If you find someone that you think you might gel with, which is really shitty, if you find someone like that, like Ryan is talking about how he and his girlfriend are, and they... could give zero fucks about you. This really hurts your heart because you're like, I think we could be great. and then they're like, yeah, but no, thank you.
Yeah. And this person, I saw them out this weekend and we were like chatting and I thought I was doing what I would call flirting and I'm sure it wasn't. And then they ended up going home with someone.
Oh.
And I was like, yeah. Gosh, damn it. What do I do? How can I make you love me?
Blast. Hey, can I just interject really quickly? Because something, remember we talked about Steve Kramer like last week?
Yes.
I would like to note that he said that Ryan is like the voice of reason in this podcast, by the way. And he just did it again. Like, as I'm sitting here listening to Ryan, Steven was like, you and Miguel have the most train wreck, emotional, stupid lives, and yes. Ryan is the only person in that room who even knows what the fuck he's talking about.
Ryan, how does that make you feel?
You can mail my doctorate certificate to blank.
Oh, God, I wish we could get him on the phone, too.
Are they still doing the show?
It's 8:13.
Oh, they're literally in the middle of a morning drive time.
They're in the middle of a morning
show.
Call up
Amila and they'll be like, hey, did you want to weigh in on what do girls do when they really like someone on Tinder? And you'll be like, no. Can I talk to Steve and he can be on our podcast really quick?
What can we? Oh, God.
And their phone screener will hang the fuck up on us.
And be like, and goodbye.
Anyway, I think Ryan has such a really good point, though. I mean, to go back to what he was saying, it's just so important to find someone who you do get along and have such similar interests with. So it does suck when they don't like you, like Mr. CrossFit over here.
Damn. And then there's another... God.
I mean, it's fun, like, to learn other people's new things. But then it depends on the person. It could work, but eventually, in the end, it might be an issue.
But you know what? I think... I don't even know about that. Like, as you get older...
Like, you tried to learn hot teachers... You know, maybe put up with the video games.
The video games,
you
yeah.
He tried to
the
put
Pokemon.
Up with your sociability.
He tried
whatever.
CrossFit, and he was like,
yeah,
but
he tried
no.
that. And it just, you know, it all boiled to a head at the end.
Because I think when you're younger, you can do that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Because you're still learning, like, what,
true.
Like, because you don't know what your interests are. You know, you're like, I don't know. Like,
let's
I like video games?
Discover stuff together.
Exactly. Which I feel like that's why it was easier, like, when you met people back then when you were, like, 19, 20, 21,
oh, yeah.
22. But then, like, now, like, what I learned with Hot Teacher is, like, I don't give a fuck about no goddamn Pokemon, no fucking yeah. video games,
oh.
sitting in front of a goddamn
okay,
cell phone
okay,
playing video games.
Okay,
I
okay.
don't give a fuck about any of that
wow,
shit.
Wow,
when
wow.
we had that Pokemon pub crawl, Miguel was just like,
yeah.
Like, that was, like, the worst day
He's
of my
like,
life.
I'll be drinking.
Yeah, he did. Like, Ryan and I were so excited.
We were, like, catching out Charmanders and stuff. And,
like, Miguel was on vacation when we planned this, and me and Ryan were like, Ryan's idea, 100% totally. And I was like, here's my thing with video games. I don't search them out, but if you present me with a fun one, ugh. I will get into it. So ugh. I'm like, yes, we're going to do all this shit. It's going to be fun. Miguel comes back from vacation, and he's like, what? In the hell happened
like
while I was gone?
The only reason why I liked it is because it was huge and everyone was interested. It was big in pop culture. It was good for the show, good for the station. But everything else, I was like, this is not something that I would ever think to do.
Yeah.
The only part of that I enjoyed was meeting listeners, seeing how excited everyone else was about it. And then I got to sit and talk to some really hot guys
oh.
that were listeners.
Okay.
And like when they got tipsy, they were like, we really love the show. And I was like, I'm in a relationship. Damn.
Damn.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
Maybe that's when I knew there was a problem.
Yeah. 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 Although, no, here's the thing. Like, I think a lot of people are in unhappy relationships.
Oh, most definitely.
I think so, too.
Most. Girl.
You guys blew me down with your.
Let me tell you something. Now that I feel like I'm equipped and sort of I can recognize what unhappiness looks like in people and, like, what some would consider, oh, maybe they're just being sarcastic or maybe, you know, whatever. I can see it. And I see it and I recognize it. And it makes me sad for so many people that are in unhappy relationships.
Is it fear of being alone or is it, or is it a comfortability level where you're like, well, it's working decently, or is it fear? Is it comfortability? Is it?
I think most people don't realize it.
Oh, they don't know better.
They don't, because think about it. We always talk about this. And if you listen to this show, and you're one of these people, this is not me calling you out by any means, but this is just something that I've noticed over my lifetime, is that Holly and I always say, and I can include Ryan in this, is that we're very self-aware people. We're always doing gut checks. I mean, when you work in radio, our entire job is to get into the human mind and figure out what's interesting to you so we can talk about it to make you listen to us.
It's very psychological, actually.
It is. There's a lot of psychology that goes behind doing a radio show every day. But what I learned from working with our old co-host in Panama City, Mandy, she was the prototype of a person who is not super self-aware all the time because she's just living life. When you have kids and a job and a mortgage and cars and vacations and family, you don't have time to sit around and be like, I'm unhappy. Is this marriage okay? Unless someone goes out and cheats or like does something really crazy, you don't have time to sit around and think about that sort of thing.
It's just one more thing that you're kind of working on. And that's just part of your life.
It is. And so that's why I see a lot of friends that have those busy lives. Mm-hmm. They don't have time to sit down and think about it. And so when a lot of people saw that I was, you know, Hot Teacher and I were breaking up, they were like, well, I mean, y'all couldn't work through it? Like, you couldn't? And it's like, well, no. Like, if you come to a point where you realize you can't work on it, you got to evacuate. And people don't take the time to really dig down in those emotions and figure out if that's, you know, they don't do a gut check.
I think there's two camps, because I got a lot of that when I went through the divorce also. Obviously nobody wants to see a marriage ending. I mean, right. I never, in fact, it's so weird because we're going through my mom's old stuff now that we're moving into the new house. And I found a box in storage that's like wedding stuff. So not only do I have my wedding dress, but I have a box with all the invitations and the thank you notes. And I'm just going through it and it's emotional, and I'm looking at these pictures and I'm like, clearly I never planned to get divorced. Like, no one goes into marriage thinking, well, maybe somebody did, and I don't know. But, like, most people don't go into marriage thinking, well, hopefully this lasts. No, you go in thinking, this is it. But then, like, when you have those people that are like, well, didn't you do this? There are a camp of people, and I think this is why our grandparents stayed together so long, that are like, it does not matter. You just keep moving. Even
That's
if you're
what
happy,
I was
you're not.
Gonna mention before when yeah. that came up. But, I just feel like they just deal with it.
They did. You know? And they found happiness in other avenues. They would join women's guilds, or they would go play pinochle at the bridge club on Thursday nights with the dudes. And that's why so many like guys joined bowling leagues and things like that. And maybe it wasn't the happiest marriage, but you found happiness in your children.
Is that the right
hobbies.
Way?
I don't know that there's a right way. I'm not going to sit here and say that's wrong. I'm not also going to sit here and say that's right, because I don't know that there's a right or wrong way for every single person.
Right.
If that's working for you and you take comfort in it, like maybe you're not enamored with your spouse, but maybe you respect him as a person and you're like, I could be happier with someone else.
Right.
But let me tell you from firsthand experience, it's a lot to go through a divorce and break up a family. And if they would rather choose that, you know, and be like, well, I'm not at the absolute 100% zenith of my happiness.
Right.
But I'm okay, and that's enough for me. That's not wrong.
When you look at your wedding stuff, what do you see in your face?
Oh, man. I mean, overall, genuinely, like when I see the wedding pictures, I see someone who's happy, but also knowing what was going on at the time, too, in my head. Like, I also... and I don't want to make it sound anything bad towards, you know, Chris, because mm-hmm. he and I did have a really good relationship for many years.
Right.
And we still have a good relationship, you know. Mm-hmm. But I also think, too, for the wedding was so much for me to put on. I mean, I know my mom helped a lot, but just that day, more than anything, I was like, I'm so glad I got this over with. Mm. And I do remember also leading up to the wedding thinking, you know, like kind of relieved. Like I was like, well, I don't have to be out there and dating. Like, this is a man who loves me. And it's good. Thank God.
Do you remember looking into his eyes during the ceremony? And was there ever a second thought in your head
To be honest, no, because I know some people are like, well, I started walking down the aisle and I had this realization wash over me. It didn't. But you know what really hit me on the day? And I remember distinctly walking down the aisle and seeing him, because you know how sometimes you see those beautiful videos or pictures of the guy who gets the first look at his bride and he gets so overwhelmed that he tears up or whatever. Neither one of us cried. I mean, not even me. I'm a crying ass bitch. Fucking cry all the time. And as I got my mom on this side and my dad on the other, and we're walking down the aisle.
And I was out there on stage. You saw me. I was there.
You're at the altar.
I was on the altar. Remember, I was there.
Yes, Miguel was there.
With my afro. I was like, hey, girl.
Exactly. Very, very proud to have you in the wedding. And as I'm walking down there, the one thought that struck me was, a couple thoughts, well, I mean, couple. I'm like, ooh, everyone's looking at me. Hope my dress is on point, makeup on point. I was having this weird meta realization of like, I'm not crying. Do I feel like I need to cry? And then in my head, I was like, it's probably a good thing that I'm not crying because that means I'm doing the right thing. Like, there's no tears. I even got up to the altar and I was just like, there we are. We're holding the hands. I'm looking him in the eyes. He's not even close to crying.
No.
He's like joking around with his friends. I'm looking and I'm like, just smiling. I'm like, I don't feel any type of, you know, crazy emotion right now. And I'm wondering, and I don't know for sure. I'm not a psychologist. What was that? Like, should I have been overwhelmed with emotion or should I have been the way? I don't know if there's anything. I'm just my observation. I don't know.
I don't know, because I was just talking to a friend. There's a friend I have who lives here in Tampa Bay, Sion, and she's very much like, she's not a crier. She's not an emotional person. She said straight up to her now husband, she's like, I don't want a wedding. Like, let's go to the courthouse. They had this really huge engagement in Paris. Eiffel Tower. I mean, that was beautiful. They had like a engagement reception that her mom put on because her mom knew that she probably wasn't gonna plan a wedding, and so like her mom went all out for that. And I didn't get a chance to ask her how it was, but knowing her, I'm sure it was very matter of fact. It was like, let's go and then let's go have lunch somewhere and then that's it.
Right.
And so I think for someone like that, it's not, but knowing you feel emotion very, very strongly.
Right.
And for one of those important days to just sort of be like, we're standing on stage hosting something for the radio station where you don't feel anything, to me, I feel like that says something.
Maybe so. I've wondered that myself. I have, because why was I not crying? I even thought it in the moment, which is weird, I guess. I was like, where are the tears? No, no tears. We're going to make it. And then I kind of got, you know, I was glad because you don't have to wipe your makeup off.
Right.
I was like, whew, well, I dodged a bullet. No tears. But then I'm also kind of like, I sort of wanted to feel that pit in your stomach where you're so overcome. But then again, maybe wedding days aren't meant to be that way. I don't know. It's so much a business now. And it was so stressful. And I don't know how anybody else got married, but like just putting on that wedding was such a big deal. Right. And you have all these people you don't want to let down. Did Grandma Johnson get seated by Auntie Carol? Like, there's just, I always said the wedding part is for us and then the reception is for everyone else because it's just a shit show.
Yeah.
But I think there should have been more emotion. I feel like there should have been, but there really wasn't. And then everything else went by really fast.
No, there should have been, because think about it. I was just thinking, anytime I've ever watched, especially like any gay proposals, which I've never been one to cry at stuff like that, but whenever it's a gay one, because I can put myself in that and I'm like, God, I hope that someone loves me like that. And then I hope that I have the capacity to love like that and mm-hmm. be that emotional. And if I can do that just from watching it, I better be fucking bawling like a baby at least during that ceremony.
But okay, are we letting emotions get the best of us? I mean, and the whole entire relationship is not going to be that powerfully strong all the time.
Right.
Am I looking for something that's unrealistic? Is that unrealistic well, to I
don't,
want that?
No, I don't think you look for that. You just hope that it's there. I don't think that's something that you're like...
Well, no, but you know what I'm saying? Like,
I don't think I do.
Does a wedding have to be so emotional like that? Is that unrealistic? If you know that you're making the right choice
mm-hmm.
and you choose to stay with this person and get married to this person, then is it unrealistic to be like, well, I had everything except I didn't cry? Like, that seems a little bit
self-indulgent. I don't think you can put like a big label on it and say, well, if you don't cry, clearly your relationship, your marriage is doomed.
Right.
But I do think that you should feel some sort of well of emotion on your, because that is you saying this is us forever. I mean, that's a huge thing. I mean, so I feel like maybe it's not crying. Maybe there should be like a, you got to take a moment to like get your thoughts. I feel like, and granted, we're talking to the person has been in a relationship for more than a year, who's never felt like I could, I mean, I've never felt that way before about anybody. So who the fuck am I to say anything? But I would hope for me at least that I would feel some sort of surge of emotion on that day.
Mm.
Maybe it's not tears. Maybe it's whatever it looks like, mm-hmm. but something.
Right.
I don't want my wedding day just to be like, we're about to go host the Christmas parade.
Right. And I think that's a lot. I put so much pressure on myself. And that's the thing. Like, Chris and I really did get along very well, but he's not, I'm so like an overthinker of everything. And I have such deep, like, you know, thoughts and analyses of things, and he's not that person.
Right.
And that is okay, by the way. Not every person is cut out to be like, and Lord help you if you're not, like, good for you, because this is a lot to deal with. But for him and I, like, we couldn't have had a conversation necessarily about that because our conversations never got that deep.
Right.
So maybe that's part of the reason too, is our relationship wasn't ever really like
deep. There was never a soulful connection.
I don't think so. I don't think. Not a soulful connection, no. Like, I would say, like, it was, you know, wide, like a kiddie pool, in that there's a lot of water and there's a lot of fun to be had, but it's not very deep.
Right. And you want the ocean deep.
Now I know.
You want to go to the middle of the goddamn Gulf of Mexico.
Yep, throw me in.
Hmm.
That's what I need.
Felt like we needed to break something up.
I know. I feel like this song makes me want to cry. I told you I want to cry about everything.
This makes you want to cry, but not your actual wedding day?
Apparently not.
Wow. All right. Well, on this very serious edition of Miguel and Holly Uncensored.
How does it always turn into this bullshit?
I don't know.
Because we don't know what we're doing. Is that why?
Well, no. I set the tone. I feel like I don't feel like laughing today. I feel like there are days I come into the podcast and I'm like, I want to have fun. I want to laugh. And then there are days where I'm like, I don't. I just want to sit and be serious and feel bad about something.
That's okay. You know, I'll go right along with that. Probably why it's best we don't live together anymore, even though I would live together with you.
I don't know how single Miguel and single Holly would work well together.
I'm not sure about that. Maybe I feel that's like best. It's probably best that we don't try ever. That's bad.
Ryan, would you want to live in a house with Holly and I?
Sure. If it makes it cheaper to live. I'm just kidding. I'm sure it'd be fun.
It is. And then if you're,
I would make sure to put all the dirty dishes in the sink.
Okay. Well, all you really
you
have to do.
Put them in the dishwasher, bitch.
Damn dishwasher.
You don't put them in.
You just come over here, and if you have trouble with rent, like, I'll take care of it 1 month, because that's what I do. So it's fine.
I'm joking. I always make the dishes rule at my house, too. I'm like, do the dish when you eat the food, please.
Yeah, that's always what you got to do. Don't leave it around. Yeah.
That's one of the things I've learned about when I'm looking for someone. You better have your shit together. Oh. It better be clean. I'm not saying you got to be perfect.
There are things that you can work on together.
That's a habit that you can't break from someone. Like, you're either like tidy or you're not. I'm not saying I'm like squeaky clean, but things have a place and I don't like to leave my house dirty.
True.
Okay.
I'm like a half. I'm like a half tidy, half untidy.
I think I am too. Like I like it.
I mean, everything has its place, right. But I know where it is.
Right.
Right. I mean,
and
like,
it's not messy, but it's not organized at the same time.
Right. Like I said, I'm not perfect.
Yeah. Sometimes, you know, I don't fold the clothes right away after the laundry, and they sit there
for how long?
They get wrinkled.
I hate laundry. It's the worst thing ever.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
If I could pay somebody to do my laundry, that's like my goal in life.
I'll pay you. Or you pay me. I'll do it. It's time to go.
I was thinking, like, my mom actually does ours, so it's really nice.
Oh, must be nice over there.
Dang.
It is. It's really nice.
But then you also have to answer her technology questions, so is
it
really?
In case I ever wanted to, like, you know, at least make out with a man on my front porch, I can't because unless you're right there.
No, you got
fold
new couches.
That laundry.
You can't F anybody on your new couches.
No, I can't.
That's you got that, like, secret shed back there.
Do it in the secret shed.
Just not during the summertime because somebody's going to pass out from heat exhaustion.
Too hot.
Get an AC up in there. Get a little futon.
All right. Well, we need to make way for Phoebe to get here so she can give out the Hot 101.5 Pager Bills keyword for noon.
Okay.
But thank you so much for hanging out with us for the Uncensored Podcast. Holly, what's all your social media?
Radio Holly, Instagram, Twitter, and Snapchat, and Holly on Hot 101.5 on Facebook.
Producer Ryan.
Mine is Instagram, Snapchat, Radio McGibb, MCGIB. Facebook is just MCGIB. I figured that out. Sorry. I've been saying it wrong.
Damn it, Ryan.
That's just my personal Facebook.
Like, how the fuck are we
really
supposed
matter.
To find your stuff if you can't find
Look,
it?
Just go on my Instagram and I'll be posting pictures from Austin. We just went on a trip.
So. Okay, very nice. How many times did you and your girlfriend do it in Austin?
Three.
Three times and y'all were there for 3 days, 2 days?
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's a stamp.
That's like a once a day.
Respectable.
It's like the norm.
Is it like in the morning or in the evening?
Whenever.
When the fuck
Whenever.
Did you do it?
Miguel.
When? I'm not asking like how was it. I'm just saying when did you do it?
Both.
Get on the microphone.
Both.
Thank you. I just love
Both
hearing about
Both times a day, Miguel.
Yes. Good? I love hearing about people's sex lives.
I guess, because you always drag mine through the damn mud.
Yes.
Probably another reason why I will never be in a successful relationship.
You're welcome. All my social media is Miguel Fuller, MIGUELFULLER. That is Instagram, Snapchat, Twitter, and on Facebook. Just go facebook.com/RadioMiguel. You can listen to Miguel and Holly Uncensored at hot1015tampabay.com. You can download the Hot 101.5 app, or you can go to iTunes and type in Miguel and Holly Uncensored and make sure to just rate and subscribe. See you next week. Bye.
Want more Miguel and Holly? Listen to past episodes of Miguel and Holly Uncensored at hot1015tampabay.com, the Hot 101.5 app, or on iTunes.